grab your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, that tells me this is your very first time here. So we want to welcome you to New Life, because anyone that calls a New Life their home brings their Bible to church. Come on, true or false? Yeah, Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and open up my Bible. If you're online watching, grab your Bible or your iPhone or something. Matthew chapter 2, the text today is verses 1 through 12. This is the kind of church where you have to bring your Bible, okay? Very important, muy importante. You don't just show up and like stare at me. I have nothing to say outside of the word of God, right? But how many know that God has a lot to say? Forget it. I'm gonna go hang out on this side over here. Too slow, Joe. How many know that God's word has a lot to say? Amen. This is the anointed section over here. Aside from like three or four of you on the second row, I saw you, yeah. I saw you. By the way, before I come out, there's a curtain back there. I can see everybody. Come on. You got to give Jesus your best. We're not performing or anything, but we come to church to worship him. That's what we're going to talk about today. So Matthew chapter 2, just stalling. Did you get the passage? Yes. Okay. So let me get back to that in just a second. We're going to read in a second. But every year on our staff, we have, I don't know, 15 people are on our staff. And every year we have a Christmas party, like many of you have for your company or business or organization. And a couple times it's been here, we kind of decorate the lobby and we do all kinds of fun games and we have food and stuff. And oftentimes we'll actually go out to a restaurant and we'll have a really nice meal at a restaurant. And the kind of my favorite part of the night outside of the food is just the gift exchange that we do. And we do that white elephant gift thing, you know, it gets really competitive and violent. And man, if you sat at one of our Christmas gift exchange, you would even probably second guess if we were even saved. And it's like, it's intense. And we yell and scream at each other. And it's like, it's supposed to be a $10 gift. And what I've discovered over the last 23 years is sometimes, do you know people like this, that the gift is like $10 and they'll bring like a $20 or $25 gift. And you're like, man, I hope I get that gift. And then there's other people and you're like, what are you thinking, man? You got like Play-Doh? Like really? Play-Doh. It was like $2 I guess it wouldn't be $2 at the 99 cent store. But you know what I'm saying? Like you didn't even spend 10 bucks and it wasn't thought through and it was a cheesy gift and you're like, I hope I don't get stuck with that. Last year we went to a restaurant, Ottavio's restaurant, and we all went there. And so again, a couple people on our staff, really cool gift, 25 bucks. I'm in there maxing out and they're thinking it through and they're preparing. And then other people, it's just like last minute, totally forgot. In fact, the party started at the restaurant and there's two guys on our staff that are up at the register because they forgot their gift. So they're buying a gift certificate for $10 to Ottavio's. And I'm like, what do you even get it? Like, what do you get at a restaurant for 10 bucks? You like a half a plate of pasta? And that was their get, not thought through, not thinking about it, not taking anybody else into consideration. It's like, here you go, 10 bucks. And I would never put those two people on blast. I wouldn't do it. But one is in the production booth back there, and he's one of our drummers, Joe Mesa. And the other one is my son. I thought we taught him better than that. And guess who got stuck with the $10 gift card? We did. And we got a half a salad. Yeah. And in other words, some people think it through. Some people invest a lot of money. Some people, I mean, awesome gift. Other people, it's just like, here you go. Play-Doh. Enjoy. And I do you know people that are really good gift givers? I love getting gift. Like my friend, Pastor Andy, he was in the first service. And that guy knows how to give good gifts. Every year for my birthday, he takes me out to Mastro's restaurant. And he doesn't even look at the price tag. He's just like, let's get this. I'm like, awesome. He bought my son for his wedding a couple months ago, like $500 or $600 set of really nice knives, like the ones that if you, like, it'll cut your fingers off, like insane, very expensive. 2 years ago for my birthday, he's like, hey, Mastro's is really good, but I want to take you to like a real restaurant, like a couple steps up from Mastro's. I think for the four of us, it was like almost $700. I like him as my friend. And he gives good gifts. And as I thought about gift giving, I was thinking about that as I was looking at Matthew chapter 2, a passage that I've preached on several times over the last 23 years. But it's a story about magi or wise men that gave their gifts to the Lord. And I think it speaks some just awesome principles and some life lessons that you and I can learn about how to give good gifts. See, Christmas is usually about what am I going to get? But or even like, what am I going to get from God? But I think this season is more about like what God could do for me and what are some gifts that I can give God. Anybody interested? So we haven't done this in a while. Would you stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God? You might be in your house. I'm going to invite you to stand. If you're driving your car, don't stand. That would be weird. But if you're here in the building or you're able to do that online, Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, and then I'll pray, and then we're going to share four things with you. Ready? See? I said ready, and like seven people from the anointed section. Come on, you guys wake up over here. Ready? There we go, Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and we have come to worship him." Let me just stop for a second. Aren't you glad that the wise men called Jesus King of the Jews? Remember the disciples, they're like, "Hey, who are you?" And Jesus is like, "Well, who do you say that I am?" They're like, "Well, some people say that you're Isaiah. Other people are saying you're like Jeremiah. Some people are saying you're like one of the prophets." He's like, I know what other people are saying, but who do you say that I am? Let me just ask you the question today before we continue. Who do you say that he is? Is he just like a religious leader? Is he just a prophet? Is he just a good teacher, a miracle worker? All those things are true, but he's more than that. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I love from the get-go, the magi, they're just like, got it, nailed it. He's the King of Kings. Love it. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. The reason he was disturbed is because Jesus was a threat to his king and kingdom and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go." What does he say? "So I may go in." Was that true? No, because we discover in Luke that Herod wasn't trying to worship Jesus, he was trying to kill him. Is it okay if I just stop there for a second before I read the last couple of verses and just say this? Isn't it interesting that Herod said that he wanted to come worship Jesus, but he had different intentions altogether? Here's what I've discovered in being a pastor for 23 years. Not everybody who says that they're with you is with you. "Yeah, I got your back. I'll never leave you, Pastor Steve. We're there. You can count on me." Where'd they go? They're gone. People that said, "Oh, greatest church it's ever been. You're the greatest pastor. I'll never leave." How many know that people leave you all the time? So you got to be really careful. You got to be really careful who you confide in, who you tell secrets to, who you let into your secrets, because you cannot trust everyone. Some people will stab you in the back. I'm preaching the truth right now. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, thank you for the word of God. Bless your word as it goes forth. Open up our ears and our hearts and our understanding to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to share. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Kick your shoes off if you want, lest they stink. Don't do that. So I read this passage, and a couple things stuck out to me in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 that I really want to share with you. And so here's four gifts that the wise men gave that I think we can give as well. So if you're taking notes, write down this first one. First of all, I noticed in the text, verse 11, they gave a heart of humility, a heart of humility. Write that down. A heart of humility. Where did you get that? Verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down. They bowed down. Most theologians say that Jesus was about 2 years old at the time. And notice, the wise men, they were astronomers of the time, so they were smart guys. They probably went to an Ivy League school or Stanford or Berkeley or something like that. Very eloquent, very intelligent, very smart. But what's awesome about the wise men is when they saw baby Jesus at the age of 2, they still bowed down. Not too proud to get low. Not too proud to get low. I wrote this in my notes. Humility will solve problems. Pride will create problems. Let me say it again. Humility will solve problems. Pride will create them. You wanna solve some problems in your marriage? Humble yourself. Stop having to be right all the time. I'm gonna get the last word. You didn't hear what I had to say. Hey, you wanna reconcile with a friend? Humble yourself and you say sorry first. Because when you walk in a spirit of humility, it will solve all kinds of problems. But if you're the kind of person, you don't let anybody speak into your life, you gotta have the last word, you're always right, I'm all that in a bag of chips. By the way, you know what I've discovered about a bag of chips? Most of it is filled with hot air. Yeah, but and you're unteachable, and you don't let people speak into your lives, and you're not correctable. You got to be careful because pride will create a lot of problems in your life. Humility will solve a lot of problems in your life. Check it out. The Bible says in James 4:6, God resists the proud. Think about that. I don't think anybody watching this or listening to the sermon wants God to resist them. Can you imagine anything? Like, how many want God? I want God to resist me. No. But the Bible says that God resists the proud, but ready for the good news? Drum roll, please. Drum roll. Here it is. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. So the Magi, man, they could have said, hey, we're adults. We're smart. We're intelligent. We're eloquent. We're not bowing down to any kid. No. The opposite was true. They bow down in humility before God. Isaiah 57:15 says, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. Where does God live? By the way, does anybody want to live where God lives? Let me see your hands. Come on, put it in the chat right now. I want to live where God lives. Here it is. According to Isaiah 57:15, he lives in the high and holy place with the humble and the contrite. That's where God lives. God shows up. God is attracted to people that walk in a spirit of humility. C.S. Lewis said this, great quote. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Isn't that good? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Every time I preach on humility, I gotta share this with you because some people think humility is just like I let people walk over me. I'm just a worm, I'm a scum, I'm a nobody, I'm no, no, no. You are made in the image of Jesus Christ. Your identity is in him. You don't let people walk all over you. So that's called false humility. But how many know that then some people think they're all that? And I think that God's gonna continue to bless our church when we keep elevating the name and the fame of Jesus and realize that all of us, everybody in the room, myself included, we're nothing before God. We're trying to elevate him, his glory, his name. We want him to be famous at this church and nobody else. So God, I wanna serve you. I wanna love people with a spirit of humility. God, convict me of pride because again, I create problems in my own life when I walk in a spirit of pride and not humility. Number two, you ready for second thing? Second thing is this, not only humility, number two is a life of worship, a life of worship. Notice verse 11, it says they bow down and they did what? They worshiped him. I can't tell you, I looked over my notes since I've been preaching in 1997, I've probably preached on this passage 5 or 6 times. I've never really thought about this. So the wise men get to Jesus, they bow down. The second thing is they worship him, but I'm noticing he's 2 years old. Let me ask you a question. What kind of miracles did Jesus do at this time in his life in Matthew chapter 2? Did he multiply the loaves and the fish? No. Did he walk on water? No. Did he raise Lazarus from the dead? Did he do anything at the age of 2? No. But what the wise man did is they bowed down and they worshiped him before he ever did anything. How many of us, myself included, God, I'll give you praise when, a lot of when and then Christians, when I get the job, when the marriage works out, when we have kids, when I get the promotion, when. No, they worshiped Jesus before he did anything. And let me just say this, he's done enough. If God never does another thing for me, he's done enough. You and I were headed to hell. God rescued us. He saved you. He called you. He redeemed you. He healed you. And check it out. You have a home in heaven. Check it out right now. You have a home in heaven. John 14, the Bible says, Jesus left. He goes to prepare a place for you. Think about the oceans and the mountains and all God created in a few days, and he's been working on your place for 2,000 years. And you were headed to hell, and I was headed to hell, and God interjected and came in and gave me eternal life. And not only eternal life in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty here and now. I've got a purpose for living. And notice this, Jesus hadn't done a thing, and they began to worship. Before, someone say before. Come on, type that in the chat right now, before. So important that we worship God before he does anything, because that's real worship. Kind of elementary, kindergarten, toddler worship is like, I'll worship God after he comes through. No, it's before. Pastor Pauline in our church, if you don't know her, you need to meet her. She is phenomenal. She is amazing. I've known her for 30 years. She's been on our staff now just for a couple months, but you know, she's battling cancer right now. You would never know it. You would never know it. So I didn't even know how severe it was, and we were outdoor service a couple months ago, and she's standing right next to me just like, God, you're awesome. God, you're good. God, you're faithful. And then after the service, my assistant said, I don't know if you know, but she has cancer, and it's very serious. You would have never known that standing next to her. And then another month goes by, and same thing, outdoor, I'm standing right next to her. She's like, God, you're good, God, you're faithful. Just declaring the goodness of God. And then my assistant tells me after the service, I don't know if you know, but Pauline's sister had died the night before. And I'm like, shh, she just died the night before, and she's at church the next day giving God praise? Before, struggling with cancer, but before, giving God praise. You know, there's a pilot in an airplane, they have these exercises that they do. They get up, they're playing in the air, and then they come down and they touch the plane down on the ground. They don't stop there though. They're just on the ground maybe for a few seconds and then boom, they take off again. It's called a touch and go exercise. They're up there, touchdown, go again. Touchdown, go again. You know we have a lot of touch and go Christians in the church? Come to church, oh, it was cool, yeah. Sing a couple songs. Oh, I really like that song. Hallelujah, here below. And you touch down for like 45 minutes, but your life isn't changed, and you go. And you got your Bible here, you're taking some notes, but you don't live any different when you leave the place. Touch and go. And then the offering bucket comes by, and you're like, no bueno. touch and go. Come in for church, if it fits in my schedule, touch and go. No, before. I'm going to worship Jesus Christ before the answer, before the breakthrough, before the deliverance, before the job, before the reconciliation, before. Someone shout before. So in my office this week, I was just thinking like, I want to worship God at the end of the service and just say, God, you're, and I just heard the Lord say, no, we're going to do it before. Like, we're going to do it right now. In the middle of the service right now, I'm asking you, you can set your stuff aside. If you want to stand, kneel, sit. I just want to take 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're believing God for right now. Healing, deliverance, a breakthrough over an addiction of some kind. You're waiting for a job. You're waiting for your marriage to turn around. Hey, it would be cool if we waited another 20 minutes till after the message is over. How about we do it like right now? Like, let's be for it. We're making a decision before we're going to worship God. So if you want to stand up right now, if you want to kneel, if you want to sit, just for about 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to worship God. If you're watching online, you can stand up, kneel, sit down, whatever you want to do. Come on, let's worship God. He's good. Before the answer comes, before the breakthrough comes, before the deliverance comes, before the provision comes, God, we worship you. Let's worship him.
To worship you, I live. To worship you. I live to worship you.
To worship you,
time, let's declare it.
To worship you, I leave. To worship you, I leave. I leave to worship you.
Just listen carefully. No, nobody clapping. Just with your hands lifted. Just begin to speak praise to him right now. Just in your own words, as loud as you can hear yourself. God, we give you praise. We give you thanks. You are awesome in all your ways. We worship you. God, we live to worship you. We live to give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. We elevate the name of Jesus Christ. It's at the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Cancer must bow. Depression must bow. Anxiety must bow. Divorce must bow. Lack must bow in the name of Jesus. Hypertension, diabetes bows in the name of Jesus Christ. We exalt your name. We magnify your name. We glorify the name of Jesus Christ in this place, in our hearts, in our worship. We worship you, Lord God.
To worship you.
Give God some praise in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated there. Revival broke out in the second point, New Life Community Church. Praise God.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
That song's been in me like all week long. That's why we exist, right? Just to give God all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, we got two more points here. We could probably just go home right now, but I got two more good points I want to preach. Is that okay?
Or do you want to sing some more, some more? Do you want to sing some more, some more, some more, some more, some more? Whoa.
Point number three is the spirit of generosity. There it is. Point number three, a spirit of generosity. You're like, oh, I like the first two points better. Verse 11, when they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A couple things really stuck out to me that I guess I never saw previously, but notice their treasures, plural. Three gifts. Most theologians say that the three gifts that they gave were worth about $30,000 in today's economy. So this isn't like, hey, we got some leftover bologna, want to give it? No, this is like, we're going to give you our very best. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a picture of royalty. Frankincense, it's a picture of deity, that God is fully God. And frankincense and myrrh, it's like an embalming ointment. So it's talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Fully God, 100% God, fully man, 100% man. Not 50% God, 50% man, 100% God, 100%. Doesn't make sense, I know. Our finite minds cannot grasp the infinite. But they gave plural, multiple gifts. They didn't go to like the 99-cent store. Hey, let's get him some pull-ups and a rattle. No, they gave multiple gifts costing thousands of dollars. So that stuck out to me as plurality of gifts, but I never saw this. They opened up there. Someone say there. That's like key, isn't it? It's like, because I could be really generous if I'm like tapping into like Oprah Winfrey's bank account. You know, remember when she had her show and stuff, and like every time there would be like a gift, oh, like, reach under your gift, brand new car, new, right? And if I had her money, I'd be like Santa Claus here at New Life. I'm like, what do you need? You got it. New car, you got a new house, got an apartment, cool. Xbox, you got it, right? It'd be awesome to be really generous with someone else's, right? Like Jeff Bezos, I Googled $184 billion. Not an M, B, billion. He made $3 billion in one day during COVID. It would be awesome to be generous with his bank account. Like literally, I'll take a Christmas list right now for everybody in the church and we couldn't exhaust $184 billion. I would be the most generous person, but no, they gave out of their gifts. Because when I give out of my gift, my treasure, where my treasure is, there where my heart will also be. And so when we talk about like giving, we want to give God our best. I want, I don't know if you have kids and you drop them off at Sunday school, like don't you want in children's ministry, don't you want the people back there giving their best? When you drop your kid off and they're like, hey, what's his name? Well, it doesn't matter, get in here. And he messes his diaper a couple times and doesn't change the diaper. Do you want that when you pick up your kid? No, I want them to be prepared when they're giving a lesson, to be nice when I drop up my kids. I want that from ushers and greeters, don't you? Like you walk in first time, hey, how you doing? Good, where do I sit? Wherever you want, it doesn't matter, to find a seat. Sorry, do you want those kinds of ushers and greeters? No. Do you want worship team members, like one guy's playing in the key of F and she's singing in the key of C and he's playing bass in the key? No, I want people to give their best. That's why we don't let anybody on the stage. I know, but God gave me a song. Well, you can sing it in your car on the way to work. You're not gonna be on the platform, okay? And I wanna give my best. I try to give my best every time I get up here. I don't wanna give God leftovers. So check it out. If you give a tithe, once in a while, give an offering also. When you invite someone like your family or friends, you say, hey, I got your seat. Hey, why don't you invite a stranger to sit with you also? If you go out to lunch today and bring a family member, bring Pastor Steve also. It's the also principle. Go above and beyond. I love that they gave their best. Check out this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. The best part. We have so many generous people in our church. It's almost embarrassing. This is a great story. 2 months ago, we were having services outside and services were over. Mostly everybody left and I kind of walked back there and I was talking to one of our security guys, Scott. Scott, yeah, your hubby, he's awesome. Good looking too, if I wasn't married. No, just kidding. He's such a nice guy too. And so we were talking, he goes, hey, I heard you're training for the triathlon. I said, yeah. And he says, did you buy a bike yet? I said, no, I've been all over the internet and I kind of picked out a couple that I want and I'm thinking about it. And he says, you know what? He goes, I've done a couple of triathlons and I was in my garage yesterday and I walked by my road bike because he doesn't ride road bikes, he rides mountain bikes and he's just hanging in the garage. And he said, when I walked in the garage, the Lord just said, you need to give your bike away. And so here we are the next day, less than 24 hours later, he said, oh, you don't have a bike yet? He says, I want to give you my bike. I'm like, praise God in the name of Jesus. And he goes, so I'll drop it off at your house. I said, do you know where I live? He goes, yeah, I know where you live. I'm like, you do? How? Oh. And he goes, oh, our friends live around the corner. Sure enough, the next day, my daughter's out there washing her car. She comes in, she says, hey, a guy in the church is here, and he's dropping off his bike. It's an awesome bike. It's a beautiful bike. Phenomenal. Free. I really need a car, too. No, I'm just kidding. So a couple weeks ago, I was at Al Nordquist, who's an elder in our church, and he's really instrumental in leading me to the Lord, and he's been a part of our church for 23 years. We were in the backyard just talking ministry, having coffee together. It was a Tuesday afternoon, and he goes, hey, did you check out this new deck I put up? And I'm like, it's actually beautiful, wooden deck, and there's pillars all over. It was beautiful. I said, who did it? And he goes, Scott. He goes to my same guy, bike Scott. He's out in the lobby right now, so... I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, him and another guy in the church came three consecutive Saturdays and they donated their time. I tried to write up a check. I tried to pay them and they refused to do it. All he had to do was pay for the materials. They blessed it with a huge deck. It's beautiful. And I said, they didn't take any money. He goes, no. What he told me, I wanted to give them money. And he said, no, you've been teaching me the word of God every Friday for a year. I want to do it for free. And I said, I've been teaching them the Bible every Sunday I want a deck too. No, just kidding. Same guy. In the first service, I mentioned Eric and Jessica Martin. A little over a year ago, they sent an email and they just said, "Hey, we were thinking about being an usher, a greeter, but we own a gym and we want to bless the staff, not charging the staff to work out. They're incredible trainers. So the last 14 months, we get to go to the gym or they come here and they train us for like an hour, 3 to 4 times a week. Doesn't cost the staff a cent. Amazing." And then, like, I'll say, "Hey, I want to get rid of my, you know, belly or something." And she'll scheme an exact, because not only did she graduate with an exercise degree, but a nutrition degree. And she'll, "Here's what you need to eat, 5 meals a day." And she, free. I don't ever follow the eating plan, but it's it's nice that she did that. But just like free, no, we want to just bless the staff. And anytime we try to give money, they're like, no, this is our gift back to you guys. I could go on and on about the people that come on Wednesday and Thursday and volunteer their time to give away food to all the people that are in need. I could go on and on. The 95% of the people that you see volunteering here are not on our staff. They're generous with their time and their talent, and God blesses a generous spirit. So we need to give God our very best in every area of our life. That's what the Magi did. They bowed down, they worshiped, and they gave great gifts. Number 4, and finally, the first 3 ones are kind of fun and exciting, and here's where we turn up the heat a little bit. Number 4, a commitment to change. Here's a gift I can give God, a commitment to change. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country, notice this, by another route. ESV says another way. It's not just talking about geography physically, it's talking about spiritually. Notice, when they took off on the journey, they were going one way, their way, but then they went another way, God's way. Do you know this, that it took them 2 years and 500 miles to get to Jesus? How many of you, because I know I'd be a little tempted after the 2-year journey to get to Jesus, I'd want to hang out a little bit. He's like, no, you gave gifts, you worship, time to go a different way. And again, not just talking about physically, it's talking about spiritually they went home another way. They went another way. Can I lean in on you a little bit? Thank you. See this section over here? I keep going back to the same section. It's the most spiritual section. Listen, if at one time in your life you raised your hand, came forward, said yes to Jesus Christ, but your life hasn't changed, I just want to be bold to say you're not really a Christian. I'm not saying that we all don't have struggles. I have struggles. I'm not saying that we don't all give in to temptation at times, but I'm just saying, if you still cuss like you used to cuss, and it doesn't bother you, I can't tell you how many pastors I know personally not only cuss in private conversation, but publicly from the pulpit, trying to be cool. I got a problem with that. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. They just cuss from the pulpit, cuss in conversation. No, you should be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And you're saved today, you're born again, but you're still living with someone you're not married to? Same, you watch the exact same shows, go to the exact same movies, hang out with the exact same people that you did. Listen, when you were a total pagan, now if you were to tell me, hey, I just made the roster for the LA Lakers. I'm like, really? Awesome. Let me see your uniform. Didn't get one. Do you got like a locker room there? No. Do you have a pass to get into Staples Center? No. You are not on the Lakers. You had a dream last night. Listen, just because we come to church and read our Bible and sing a couple songs doesn't mean that we're going to heaven. Check this out. The Bible, this is the Bible, this isn't me. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Wide. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not like, how many like times do we need to hear people get on the TV and say, well, they're looking down right now. Really? Are we sure that they're looking down? They lived a pagan life for 80 years, and just because they died, they went to heaven? No. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many people are on that. Narrow is the road to eternal life. And I'm not saying that we're not, listen, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, salvation is an instant thing that happens. We're all in the process of sanctification. It's the process of becoming like Jesus. And when I first got saved, the first couple, I was still cussing and hanging out with some friends, and it's a process. But if you know to do something or not to do it and don't do it, it's sin. You're dating someone that's not a Christian, it's a sin. Sleeping with someone you're not married to, it's a sin. You're in a same-sex relationship, sin. They went home a different way. Different peep, man, it's quiet in here. You know you're hitting something when nobody's like, hope he doesn't look over here. No, but come on, let's just be honest. Like, I listen to the exact same shows, same movies, go to the same websites, I got the same friends, I still go to Spearmint Rhino, whatever it is. Go to the strip club, I still party, but I'm a Christian because I like new life. No, I don't preach that gospel because it's not the gospel. We should be changing from glory to glory. That's what the Bible says, glory to glory. Yeah, I'm not there, it's a journey. We're constantly becoming conformed in the image of Jesus, but I hope I'm further along than I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, that when I sit in the service and the Holy Spirit convicts me, I say, I want to leave this place differently. Otherwise, we're just playing church. And we should be growing, and we should have a commitment to change. Merry Christmas, everyone. Like, I came for like some Christmas make me feel good sermon. Well, come another service. It's not today. I believe that the Holy Spirit's coming through the service right now with like a spiritual blowtorch. We should probably sing again, shall we? Let's get it. No, I love you. Because I love you, I'm willing to tell you the truth. I think when I go to church, when I leave, I just want to feel good all the time. I just want to feel good. No, sometimes we should leave the service and say, man, I'm such a sinner, I need to repent of that. I've been holding on to unforgiveness and the Holy Spirit just checks me. Bam. This is the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture, Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God for correction, teaching, exhortation, reproof, so that the man or the woman of God may be complete or mature. So we come to church, let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God just like slam us. I want every service that you attend or you're watching online, I want every service for us to say, I gotta change. I gotta do that different. I can't be the selfish husband, the selfish wife, the nagging parent. I gotta do something different when I go home. I gotta go different to my job tomorrow. Because all I do when I'm at my job is I complain all the time. My boss does it, my coworker does it. I have a dumb little jump stick. No, you need to go with a different attitude. Somebody just goes, man, what's up with you? You just seem like you got a lot of joy. Yeah, that's how you should go to work. Some of you need to go back to your house a different person, a different parent, a different child. Talk back all the time.
What do I have to do? Never does anything, stupid chores.
No, you need to go with a different attitude. And all the parents said, you should see right now, all the parents are like, yeah, you listen to them? Sit up and listen to the man of God. We got to go into 2021 differently. You've been talking about serving God for like years. When will you actually start doing it? What are you going to invite a coworker to church? They don't even know that you're a Christian. You got to share your testimony. You got to do something different. You've been coming to church 5 years. You've never given 1 cent. And here's the cool thing. I don't know what anybody in our church, you could have given a check for $1 million. Maybe I'd know that. But I don't know. I told you the story a couple years ago. A couple gave $500,000 gift, biggest gift by far. I still have never met the couple, but I don't know. So you could sit here for like 10, 15 years. Never given 1 cent, never ever served in a ministry anywhere. Does God still love you? Yes. Are you going to go to heaven? Yes. But I wouldn't know. I don't want to know. It's not about me knowing. It's about you honoring God. Because if I knew that you sat here for 10 years and never did jack, and I'd look at you like, what? I'd be preaching right now looking at you like, you're stingy, but I wouldn't say that. I don't want to think differently about people. I'm just saying you need to do something different with your finances. No wonder why you're always in lack and you're in need is because you're not putting God first in your finances. You got to go home and do something different. So this is about going home a different way. So what is God saying to you? I need to go differently in this area. I hope you don't think that I just get up here and yell at you for like 40 minutes, but like the Holy Spirit tells me to do things too. Because I haven't arrived. I got a lot of room to grow. So I need to go home a different way. I need to be a better pastor, a better leader, a better preacher, a better parent, better husband in 2021. Don't leave me up here. Why are you saying amen? Another way, a different route. Doing the same thing over and over and over and over, getting the same results. Expecting a different outcome. Well, I got to go home a different way. That God would help us do that. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for your presence in this place. We sense you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. One of your roles is to convict of sin. God, point out areas in our life that we need to change. We need to go a different way, a different route. With our attitude, with our thoughts, with our finances, with our gifts, a different way, a different route. God, help us to be humble, generous, committed to change, and people of worship. We worship you, God. Thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. We give you all the glory. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Hey, I'm Steve Abraham, the pastor of New Life Oxnard. Thank you for watching our YouTube channel. You can join us live every Sunday for a new sermon and live worship. Also, be sure to take a minute to subscribe and turn on your post notifications so you don't miss any of our new videos or live streams, and please share with a friend. And if you would like to partner with us in furthering the gospel, please click the link below. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and God bless you.